Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. Happy Thursday, December 6th. 2018 to you all here in Mid-Michigan or wherever you may be listening at. But here in Mid-Michigan, it's a bit of a cold and snowy and rainy one outside. It's like a snow-rain mix that is causing some pretty slick conditions out there on the roads and on the sidewalks. I must admit, I almost took a dive on the concrete just walking to my car a moment ago, okay? So be safe out there, and please walk carefully and drive carefully, all right? But thank you so much for allowing current sports to be a part of your day. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a lot to get to. Now, I was a bit confused as I just came into the studio today because I thought that Vernon Carey, the five-star basketball recruit Vernon Carey, who had Michigan State on his list of possible destinations that he would be taking his basketball talents to. I thought that Vernon Carey was making his decision later on this afternoon at around 3:30 p.m. But apparently, Vernon Carey decided to bump up his announcement, and he has made his decision. We now know where Vernon Carey will be taking his basketball talents. I'm not going to tell you right now where that is. Stick around for our quick hit headliner segment, as we'll have plenty of chatter concerning Vernon Carey's decision, and that will lead the show when it comes to our discussion today. So you don't want to miss that. All right. Also, LJ Scott, last night on Twitter, LJ Scott announced that he would be taking his talents now to the National Football League, entering the NFL draft come next spring. He thanked the Michigan State coaching staff. He thanked his fellow teammates. He also thanked Spartan Nation. And also, when it comes to this letter that he put together on his Twitter, he also announced that, of course, he will be playing in the Red Box Bowl on New Year's Eve against Oregon. If he plays in that game, of course, he forfeits a redshirt season, a possible redshirt fifth season. All right. So we'll talk about LJ Scott leaving for the NFL. No surprise there, if you ask me, though. I think many predicted that he would leave.
Gone,
Nick. And also, this is a really compelling piece done by NPR. It was sent to me actually yesterday, and I immediately said this is a segment certainly born for WKAR's current sports, okay? It will come courtesy of NPR's Rachel Martin and Mike Pesca, who was on Current Sports this past summer to pub his book entitled The Biggest What-Ifs in Sports History. All right, so you don't want to miss that either. I think it's going to be it's a really intriguing conversation on many different levels. I'll also give you who my top 10 NFL teams are right now on this December 6th, as we are really coming down to the thick of things in the NFL year. I'll give you my top 10 NFL teams, and we'll compare notes and see if you agree with my top 10. And we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. seeing as though it is Thursday. And each and every Thursday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what occurred on this particular date in sports. So we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the fun. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can check out the live stream up and running there, and you can even tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. You know what's next? Here are your quick hit headliners. And we start here. Former Michigan State football player Austin Robertson will spend up to 10 years in prison for sexually assaulting a female student in her off-campus apartment. The Lansing State Journal reports that the 21-year-old Robertson was sentenced yesterday to a minimum of 3 years and 7 months behind bars. The Fort Wayne, Indiana native also has to register as a sex offender. Robertson pleaded guilty last month to assault with intent to commit criminal sexual penetration in the 2017 attack. The defensive end was kicked off the team after the victim came forward. So again, Austin Robertson has been sentenced, spending a minimum of 3 years and 7 months behind bars, up to 10 years in prison. So there you have that. All right, LJ Scott will not be coming back to the Michigan State football program next year. The senior running back is taking his talents to the NFL draft. In a post on Twitter, Scott said after consideration, he has decided that he will enter the draft next spring instead of returning. Quote, especially considering the position that I play, I truly feel in my heart that after 4 seasons at MSU, the time is right for me to turn pro. I will continue to get healthy, finish the season playing in the Red Box Bowl with my teammates on December 31st, and then pursue my dream of playing in the NFL. More on that story later on this hour. Every year Jim Harbaugh has been at Michigan football, his name has been thrown around the NFL coaching carousel in the month of December. Every year so far, Harbaugh has shrugged off the talk. Actually, I watched that show, Get On Up, on ESPN yesterday morning, and they dedicated, I kid you not, about 10 to 15 minutes to why Jim Harbaugh would leave the Michigan football program and return to the National Football League.
Finito.
And, yeah, that's what some people think. Finito, right? Earlier this week, Pro Football Hall of Famer and Ohio State wide receiver Chris Carter claimed during an appearance on Fox Sports 1 that Harbaugh, quote, was potentially trying, end quote, to leave Michigan for an NFL drive. Now, speaking with WTKA AM 1050 in Ann Arbor on Monday, Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel told folks to consider where Carter may be coming from with that.
Beat the bullies!
Yeah, beat the bullies, right? Carter went on to say, quote, this is coming from Ward Manuel. He went on to say again with WTKA AM 1050, quote, I would say consider the source of the comment. Chris is very accomplished in his life, but he went to the school down south. People tend to throw out things like that. Sources say, my sources, listen, I haven't missed any sleep. Jim has not said anything to me about it. He's on the road recruiting, putting in great effort. From my perspective, it has no validity at all. And I think right now we can all agree with Ward Manuel, those of us who are thinking logically, because this was just a hot topic on Fox Sports 1 and also, as I mentioned, on ESPN. But I don't think Jim Harbaugh is leaving Michigan, at least not next season, seeing as though, again, the path just got a lot clearer with Urban Meyer retiring out in Columbus, Ohio. All right, after a long recruiting process, and I believe we do have this audio keyed up. I'm going to play it in just a second for you, but after a long recruiting process, Vernon Carey has made the decision that he will play at Duke. Sorry, Spartan fans. Yeah, I can hear. Don't drive off the road. Keep calm. Keep calm. I know you're angry right now. Vernon Carey is not coming to East Lansing to play for Tom Izzo. He made the announcement over live television from his high school. Carey is rated the number two prospect in the country, which would make him the highest rated prospect to ever commit to Tom Izzo in Michigan State if he did pledge his services to the Spartans. But again, he chose Duke, the Blue Devils, over Tom Izzo and Michigan State, and also Roy Williams and UNC. Here is the audio of Vernon Carey's announcement.
After a lot of consideration, I'll be attending the Brotherhood.
Congrats. Congrats. We want to send you a major congratulations. You are going to Duke. Probably not a surprise. Just adding to that already excellent team.
Yeah, not a surprise. I believe that's the voice of Carey Champion of ESPN, as she spoke with Vernon Carey live on national television when he did make that announcement. And according to current sports PA, Alec Rio, Alec told me that I guess he put up like a sign that said Duke, or
he took a handkerchief out of his pocket and had the Duke logo on it. He actually had the hats of all three teams in front of him and didn't even use them.
Oh, so that's what it's a handkerchief. Okay, Justin Frommer joining us live here in Studio S. He's also joining us for the headliners as well. So it was a handkerchief that said Duke on it. That's interesting.
It was a good old fashioned fake out, I would say.
Was it?
Yeah, with the whole, you know, he's got the three hats in front of him and he picked none of them. He took the handkerchief out of his pocket.
Huh. He could have just put on the hat, and, you know.
He could have, but I mean, okay. You know, all these commitment videos you see and stuff like that. It's, yeah.
It's ridiculous, Jack. If there's one thing I hate, it's recruiting. But Vernon Carey and Spartan fans, I want to get your immediate thoughts. I'm going to go to a few message boards as well and read a few Twitter comments from MSU Spartan fans. Maybe we could do Jack, Alec, behind the glass, I want you guys to bring up, maybe if you could, just scour Twitter right now and see if you can bring up some of the most...
I
liked as well. It's some of the most outrageous takes. From
it's like the
either,
Jimmy Kimmel meme tweets type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Let's do that.
About how Vernon Carey is a terrible person and a scumbag for making what he thinks is the best decision for himself.
I want something like that. You got me? So later on this hour, we're going to read... we'll call it meme tweets today. We'll steal a segment from Jimmy Kimmel. Meme tweets concerning Vernon Carey's decision to not go to Michigan State, to not go to North Carolina, and go to the stout, already stout, Duke Blue Devils team, coached by legendary Coach K. All right? So I want to hear your thoughts on that. If you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, that is a number to call. Press pause on that conversation right now. All right, the MSU women's basketball team, what a game they had last night. Jenna Allen and Taryn McCutcheon combined for 35 points to rally Michigan State women's hoops from an early deficit at Oakland before erupting for a 19-0 run to lead the Spartans to a 102-58 victory over Oakland in the O-Arena. Now, four Spartans posted double figures as part of a season-high six different players netting double digits on the way to MSU registering a season-high 102 points. And I was actually listening to that game on the radio. Shout out to Keaton Gologli, who does a great job as the play-by-play man for MSU women's basketball. And to start the game, it was like a blowout at first. I mean, Michigan State was down like 11-3. And I'm like, oh, man, this is an ugly start. And then they just rallied. I don't know what happened. It kind of reminded me of what we saw with the MSU men's basketball team. It was really close to start against Iowa. And then all of a sudden, Michigan State
just locks in, focuses, and just blows out Iowa. So props to Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team. Quite the performance and quite the start to the young year. All right. Veterans Julius Peppers, Von Miller, and Vernon Davis are among the 32 nominees announced Thursday for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford is among the finalists. The Man of the Year is honored for outstanding community service activities off the field as well as an excellent on the field. It was established in 1970 and renamed in 1999 for the Hall of Fame running back great Walter Payton. Unlike in the past, when three finalists were selected before a recipient was chosen, one player from every NFL team is a finalist. All will be recognized and will participate in NFL functions during Super Bowl week. The Man of the Year will be revealed at NFL Honors when the Associated Press Individual NFL Awards are announced on Sunday night, February 2nd in Atlanta. Also, my Detroit Pistons. Oh, my goodness. That was just, I watched that entire thing. I don't know why I tortured myself, but I did. I was flipping back and forth. I was between, you know, Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers game, but I watched the majority of the Pistons falling to the Milwaukee Bucks on the road, 115-92 the final. Blake Griffin scored a team-high 31 points for Detroit. He didn't get much help from his teammates, though, as the next highest score for the Red, White, and Royal Blue was Reggie Jackson's 15. But you went five straight, including when you beat the Warriors over the weekend, and now the Pistons are on a two-game skid.
You wonder if this is going to prompt the front office to make a move.
No, it's too early, and it's only two games. You know, if this was a huge losing streak that was probably in the double digits, I just think watching them last night, Justin, it was really fatigue for me. I mean, they just looked tired mentally and physically. So, but again, it's the Bucks. You should win that game, right? And, but it's Giannis Antetokounmpo who went off last night as well. And Giannis had one of, if not the biggest dunk of the night as he just absolutely posterized Blake Griffin. Made him just look like a little rag doll in the post. It was really nice. All right, the Red Wings in action tonight, Justin.
Yeah, we got an Original Six matchup in the six tonight. Red Wings traveling to take on Mike Babcock's Toronto Maple Leafs in the Air Canada Center. The Leafs, one of the hottest teams in the NHL, on a five-game winning streak. They are second in the league in points with 40 points behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. Red Wings are going to have to step it up offensively without Anthony Mantha. He's out, I think, as they said, 4 to 6 weeks with an injury. So that's a big loss heading forward.
Definitely. All right, we'll see if the Wings can get a dub tonight. Thank you for that, Justin.
To Stafford, Walter Player Man of the Year. He's got my vote with all the giveaways he's been handing out this season. You know, that's very nice of him.
Say what you will about Matthew Stafford, the player. You know, some people like him, some people hate him. You know, has he had a great year this year? No, he hasn't. But you can't deny the kind of work that he does away from the field. I saw they did a feature. Oh, boy, I think it was probably 2 weeks ago or maybe even last week. But they showed him going to a local high school and giving equipment away and, you know, mentoring kids. Just awesome stuff. So props to Matthew Stafford for the work that he's doing off the field this year, because he has not done a lot of great things on the field this year. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep this moving. LJ Scott intermixed with a little Travis Scott. I don't think any relation there. No relation. Big shout out to Travis Scott real quick. In the world of entertainment, I know Travis performed at Little Caesars Arena, and I feel like everybody was there except me. Looked like he had a good show. He had like a little roller coaster going around the stage. It was a legit roller coaster as well, and it actually went upside down to a really cool concert. Shout out to Travis Scott. He's got one of the hottest hip-hop albums of the year. I'm not a diehard Travis Scott fan, but many are. And LJ Scott, I think that's probably LJ Scott's most memorable moment in a green and white football jersey. You know, the game-winning touchdown, that improbable drive that Michigan State had in the Big Ten championship game against Iowa a few years back. I was there on the field to witness that one. One of my favorite games that I've ever covered as a journalist. And LJ, it looked like he wasn't going to get in. You heard the play call from the great Gus Johnson. Didn't look like he was going to get in. And then all of a sudden, that extra push and that extra effort as he stretches his arm across the goal line. And now LJ Scott has decided to take his talents to the National Football League. That is what I had planned to be my lead story on this Thursday, December 6th. But as I walked in, Jack Kerwin behind the glass told me that Vernon Carey bumped up his announcement time and decided to announce sometime around noon. And no, Spartan fans, Vernon Carey will not be coming to East Lansing to be a part of Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. Now, let's keep it all the way 2000 here. What'd you really think? Okay, I mean, Tom Izzo usually does not snag these highly touted, you know, ranked first, second, or third recruits in the country. It just doesn't happen that way for Tom.
Shazam!
Know? Yeah, Shazam. Not Shazam today, Izzo. It just doesn't happen. You know, and let's keep it all the way 2000 again, folks. I mean, when you look at what these top recruits want and how they view their one-and-done stint at a university, the only thing that's on the minds of these young pups who are, again, ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, in the top 20, the only thing on their minds is how fast can you get me to the National Basketball Association? How fast can you turn me into a pro? And you look at what's brewing out in Duke right now. I mean, Duke, for the very first time, nailing, you know, the top three prospects out of high school last year in Cam Reddish, in R.J. Barrett, and, of course, Zion Williamson. That's the first time that's ever happened. You know, Coach K and the Duke program get the number 1, 2, and 3 high school recruits in the nation. And pretty safe bet that all three are going to be one and done. And look at Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky, that's what John Calipari does. John Calipari, I mean, that's what he does. He always sends these one-and-done prospects to the league. He always recruits these one-and-done prospects. So if you're a young prospect like Vernon Carey, and again, don't know what's on the mind of Vernon Carey. It's hard to gauge what's on the mind of these young recruits because they are young, and anything can sway a young man who has the world at his feet and at his beck and call. When it comes to this college decision, you know, it's hard to weigh in every factor that goes into why a highly touted recruit like Vernon Carey makes a decision to go to a certain school. But it's a pretty safe bet that Vernon looked at the track record of how many players Coach K has put in the NBA. He looked at the added cachet to the Coach K resume of Coach K coaching some of the greatest basketball players to ever play, you know, when he was the lead coach for USA Hoops, coaching guys like Kobe Bryant, coaching guys like LeBron James, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, I could go on and on and on. That kind of experience is invaluable. And then looking at what the product looks like right now. I mean, Duke basketball is the team. They are the Alabama of men's college hoops right now. That's a team that if they don't win the national championship, many of us will be completely surprised. One and done's everywhere. The top three recruits in high school hoops last season. So if you're Fernie Carey, you're looking at what Coach K is building. Why not go there? No slight against Tom Izzo's men's basketball program. But Tom, he just hasn't done this on the regular. Tom Izzo doesn't get usually the one and done recruits. I mean, when we saw last year, you know, guys like Miles Bridges, who, by the way, wasn't one and done. That was a two and done player. The one and done was Jaren Jackson. Miles Bridges could have been a one and done player. That's not the norm for Iz. And then, you know what the debate becomes? Okay, why isn't that the norm for Coach Izzo? And everybody has their opinion on that as well. Izzo's style of play. You know, does that allow, you know, the one and dones to really flourish? Does that system allow for that? And I bet you there are many, as I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, there are many right now that are sitting back, listening to Current Sports right now, listening to this topic, that watch Vernon Carey bring out the Duke handkerchief and are saying to themselves, yep, this is what happens when you start Ben Carter, well, when you put Ben Carter over Jaren Jackson Jr. This is what happened, Coach. This is what happens, Coach Izzo. Now, I don't agree with that. I mean, it's a fun thought to have, but I'm sure that Vernon Carey wasn't sitting there saying, yeah, man, Coach Izzo, I don't know. Come crunch time in a national televised game in the NCAA tourney, he may start a guy like Ben Carter over me. I don't know if I want to be a part of that. I don't know if I want to go to MSU and experience that. Because what's funny is Jaren Jackson Jr., I mean, he's a big admirer still of Tom Izzo and had Izzo's back after the game. Heck, Jaren Jackson Jr. has been talking to guys like Vernon Carey, trying to get them to come to the Michigan State men's basketball program. But you're going to have a lot of people out there that are having flashbacks to that moment and saying, yep, that's why Izzo can't snag the big recruits, because he won't play them if he gets them. That's a fun hot take to have, but I'm not buying that. At the end of the day, this is about the NBA. At the end of the day, this is about moolah. And Vernon Carey is looking at Duke, and it is hard to argue against a product like that right now. Is it disappointing? Sure. But is it the end of the world? I don't think so. And there's probably also added emotion. And KJ, I know KJ hung up, but I know KJ, you wanted to call in and weigh in on Vernon Carey's decision. Call back, brother. 517-355-WKAR. I want to hear from you guys as Spartan fans, as Spartan basketball fans, especially dating back to what we saw last year in March, losing in the first weekend to Syracuse in what was Michigan State's backyard, really. I mean, Little Caesars Arena, Detroit, a lot of green and white in the stands, and Michigan State can't get the job done. And Izzo, who, again, doesn't usually get the big-time recruits, is this story kind of one in which you say, yeah, I mean, I kind of expected this? Or is it heartbreak hotel for you right now? Are you hurt over this? Are you angry? I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. So I want to open this up to the Current Sports team. We've got Justin Frommer. We got Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Alec Rio as well. I'm not surprised with this move. I'll start with Justin. I'm not surprised with this move. And I will ask this question, though, because I think this is going to be a question that's going to be asked throughout the week, certainly throughout the day here. when it comes to the sports talk world here in the Lansing area, those who cover Michigan State hoops, those who are just fans, why can't and why doesn't Tom Izzo nab the top recruits, the top five or top 10 recruits usually?
I can't really tell you why. I just
it's a bit puzzling, isn't it?
It is, because this is and it's not a blue blood program because it has no blue in it, but it is one of a top 10 program in college basketball, at least in my opinion. So it is puzzling that on rare occasion Izzo gets one every 5 years or something like that, but he doesn't get it on a consistent basis like a Kentucky, a Kansas, a Duke. But just when Izzo does get them, those teams don't usually pan out. The best Izzo teams are usually ones of 3-4-star gritty guys that he can the ones that he can mold into his system.
Right.
And that's something that Coach K does very well at Duke and Calipari does very well at Kentucky, is when they get all these 5-star guys, they just let them play. And obviously there's teaching moments around the way, but they don't force a system on these guys. You got to let the talent take over at points.
That's also another take you hear a lot with MSU basketball fans as well. The system of Tom Izzo. And I do believe, Justin, I'm not going to sit here and be naive with you. I think that the system does hinder individual stars sometimes. I'm not going to front. I mean, Tom Izzo's system is one that is a run and gun, get up and down. But if you don't, I think that the individual star can flourish in that run and gun system. But that half court offense is all about sharing the ball. It's all about assist, right? And that does not translate usually to those phenoms who can just say, hey, give me the basketball. I'm better than my guy on most nights. I'm going to torch him. That's not Tom Izzo's system. And I think Coach K did not used to be the way that he is now, where he has a system now that does allow the stars to really shine. Coach K didn't used to be like that. I think he's adapted to that. He's also letting his guys shoot more three-pointers. He's adapted, and it's an appealing system to play in, without a doubt. I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, totally bash Tom Izzo's system, though he has immense success, and it works. But when it comes to the individual star, it may hinder the game a bit. Behind the glass, Jack Kerwin, you brought up a great point when you chimed in my ear just now when Justin was talking, and I would love for you to share that.
Well, basically, the big point I will make is I'm not saying that Duke and Kentucky and Kansas pay certain recruits to come play for their schools, but I'm also not saying they don't do that. So, as we all know, Tom Izzo really isn't one to get into the mud as it pertains to recruiting and, you know, drop a bag at a kid's feet. And I'm not saying that's what happened with Vernon Carey here at all. I obviously have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a big part of why Tom Izzo never, I don't want to say never, oftentimes doesn't land the big recruits, because, you know what, Rico brought up this point on Press Pass a couple weeks ago, is Tom Izzo has success with one and dones in that he gets them to the league. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr., what was he, the 4th overall pick? Miles Bridges even came back for his sophomore year and was still drafted in the lottery.
Yeah,
so to that end, I think one and done and immensely talented players have been very successful in Tom Izzo's system, just because those guys, I mean, let's be honest about it, Al. They're not there to win a national title. It's great if they do, but the whole goal is to get to the league.
And that's the thing. That's what a lot of fans don't understand.
Exactly. It's great if you win,
right?
But you're there to get to the league.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you know, for these top recruits, you know, they are going to college because they have to,
for one year because
that's what the rule is. They're not coming to a Duke or a Kansas or a Kentucky with the number one goal being to raise a banner and win a national championship. Are they naturally competitive? Without a doubt, because they wouldn't have gotten to this point without being competitive, natural competitors, and wanting to win. But at the end of the day, it's what can you do for me as far as getting me to the NBA so that I can make millions and live my dream? That's what it's all about. So I think, but a lot of fans don't get that. I have so many conversations with fans that I run into at games, and they talk about players, you know, oh my goodness, why isn't, you know, he doing this or that, or why won't he stay? Doesn't he want to build something special? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't want to build anything special. He wants to build something special for his family and his children and his children's children. Yeah, he could care less about, well, I shouldn't say he could care less, but banners is not on the forefront of his mind.
It's yet a secondary goal, absolutely. No, it's a great point by you. And you know what? I've always kind of wondered with State fans because, you know, I firmly believe that that Tom Izzo does not pay recruits to come to Michigan State. And I would love to ask the question to Spartan fans. Would they be willing to sacrifice the integrity that Michigan State plays with in exchange for more banners? Like, would they be okay with Tom Izzo paying players the way you know John Calipari does at Kentucky if it meant they'd win more national championships?
Hasn't been proven, but I hear you. That's an interesting question. Let's make that our question of the day.
Sure.
If it meant another banner or banners for Tom Izzo, would you want Izzo to play the game on the side that some other coaches have? I know. That just made you dirty a little bit.
It's
right?
A tough question.
I'm pretty sure you probably got to take a shower after this show, right? After hearing that question. But it's happening, folks. It's happening. Right now, the form of men's college basketball is under a tremendous microscope. An FBI, this is an FBI investigation taking place. FBI, this is federal. A federal investigation is taking place right now on men's college basketball because of corruption that we are seeing in the game. Certain programs willing to pay big-time recruits knowing that it will give their program a better shot at winning national championships. And seeing as though this is happening, this is going on, it without a doubt provides a tremendous disadvantage for those who aren't playing that game. And I know Spartan fans out there, you really want that national championship. You really, really want to see Izzo and your program win another one. Would you be willing to compromise the integrity of your beloved MSU hoops to win? The safe answer is no. But at the back of your mind, that's what I want to really get to. At the very back of your mind, you can't tell me that you haven't at least thought about it.
Well, here's a question for you. Does anyone really give a damn 5 years down the road if they have to vacate a championship? You know what I mean?
Because, you know, vacating championships are always funny to me because it's not like, okay, oh, are you just going to, like, from the scene from Men in Black with Will Smith, you know.
You're going to flashy thing him?
The little flashy thing, like, oh, yeah, you didn't see that. That didn't happen. Like, no,
exactly.
We all know what happened.
Yeah.
Louisville. We all know what happened when Louisville took on Michigan in 2013. You know, even though that's wiped from the record books and there is no banner there because Rick Pitino was involved in that huge scandal.
That's right.
We all know who won the 2013 NCAA championship between, you know, the Cardinals and the Michigan Wolverines.
And if you ask any Louisville fan, they'll tell you that they still won. They don't care that they vacated the win.
For sure.
The experience was real.
Right. Exactly. That's an interesting conversation. Before we hit this first break, call in 517-355-WKER. What are your thoughts on that, Justin? I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. What do you think the majority of Spartan fans would say to that question?
Probably just the fact that no, the school down the road in Ann Arbor runs it just as clean as they do here is that they'd probably want to keep their integrity by doing it the right way.
Right.
And that was the talk during this FBI investigation was that when Izzo's name or when Michigan State was originally dropped in with Miles Bridges allegedly having dinner with an agent or his mom
his
or whatever
mom
it was.
And the agent, right. Yeah.
It was that when Michigan State's names and Tom Izzo's names finally got redacted from that is that, mm-hmm. Look, we're doing it the right way. We have
right
a championship
way.
under the right way of doing things. So I don't know if they would really want to give that up.
I agree. I'm with you on that. I think that, you know, Tom Izzo, when he had his first media availability before the season began, when they opened practice, they had their very first practice. I mean, Tom Izzo was asked whether or not he felt vindicated. And he said, yeah, I think the tone was, yeah, you know, I do. But I'm not about to throw a parade. You know what I mean? I think everybody should be doing it the clean way. But it's just sadly not the way it is today. And I think AAU basketball as well, that has a lot to do with it as well. I mean, you see some of these big-time AAU basketball programs who are just thrown thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, Nike sponsorships, Under Armour sponsorships, Adidas sponsorships, and these kids, you know, get to flaunt this gear, and you know they're treated like royalty. I mean, it is toxic. It really is. It is a really toxic sport today when discussing men's college hoops. All right, again, your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, many of you weighing in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet us as well. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, what are your thoughts on Vernon Carey deciding not to come to Michigan State or North Carolina, for that matter, and going to Coach K's Duke Blue Devils? What are your thoughts on Tom Izzo? Why hasn't Tom been able to land some of the top recruits? You know, Jabari Parker also comes to mind in this conversation as well. I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll also talk some LJ Scott as well. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You have been listening to our reaction to Vernon Carey to Duke, not Michigan State, Duke. And for me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I can't blame the kid. You know, his ultimate goal and dream is to go to the National Basketball Association. And when you look at the Duke product right now and look at Coach K's history in relation to the NBA, it's hard to argue against that. Really hard to argue against that. And I think if Spartan fans out there are really angry, I think it may have to do with the fact that Vernon Carey took not one, not two, but three visits here to East Lansing, to Michigan State University. You know, saw him on the sidelines of a football game this year. Yeah, saw him rocking a Michigan State shirt. You know, I just feel like, you know, if he's coming, Spartan fans feel like if he's coming three times, there's got to be something to that, right? You know, Vernon Carey also was quoted last week in saying that, you know, he can trust Izzo. And there were multiple publications that reported that. So, you know, yeah, you said what, Jack? What'd you say? Jack says about Izzo being in the friend zone.
I said it's like Tom Izzo's in the friend zone. You know, this is that one girl, and she feels like she can trust Tom Izzo. At the end of the day, she's not going to end up with Tom Izzo.
That's pretty good. I like that a lot. You know, I'm big on relationship puns when it comes to the world of sports, and that works. Yeah, I think Vernon Carey just friend zoned Roy Williams and Tom
Izzo. He doesn't want the nice guy, and Tom Izzo's the nice guy.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, Vernon Carey to Duke. You know, we wanted to have our version of mean tweets here when it comes to Vernon Carey leaving, because there's always a few just idiots. That's what I call them. Just, you know, grown men out there who are just so over the top and animated over the choice of a young high school kid. And if that young high school kid does not come to your program, they're just up in arms, and it's like the world has ended, and it's just like, dude, come on, man. Just chill. So I'm curious, Jack and Alec behind the glass, have you guys found any outrageous tweets or comments on any message boards or anything?
Sure, we found some good ones. Shay on Twitter said, "You can still faintly hear the echoes of the moment the bag hit the floor in front of Vernon Carey Jr. this morning. Aaron Goodrich kept it concise. Douche. Jesse Shaw, how much did they pay you at Vernon Carey 22? Aaron, still won't make it to the ship, even if Barron and Zion stay for another year. And Jack Pokorny took the soft way out."
Interesting. Those are pretty harsh. Those are pretty in your face. And a lot of them alluding to, you know, possibly Vernon Carey getting paid. You know, dollar bill, y'all. But again, we don't know that. Nothing's been proven. Coach K has never been guilty of paying recruits. So you're just speculating. We're all just speculating when having that conversation. But, you know, I keep it all the way real here on Current Sports. There are schools that are still playing that game. Okay, I don't know if Duke is. I don't know if Kansas or Kentucky or I don't know if any program is. But I think it's happening. I think it is happening. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, just quickly, do want to comment on LJ Scott to the NFL, because this was also an announcement that I was a bit late on. And you caught me out for that last night, Jack. I went to the gym, and then I started watching my Pistons and then flipping over between the Pistons and Bucks to the 76ers and the Raptors, and I didn't see this until it flashed on my phone from ESPN. But LJ Scott announced on Twitter last night, 7:28 p.m. to be exact, that he will not be returning to Michigan State for a fifth year. And he will play in the Red Box Bowl against Oregon on New Year's Eve. We kind of expected this, though, right? It was a long and very well-written and passionate statement from LJ Scott. Just to read just a quick excerpt here. I won't read the whole thing. It's too long. I found this graph, the third graph, to be pretty right on point. Quote, especially considering the position that I play, I truly feel in my heart that after four seasons at Michigan State, the time is right for me to turn pro. I will continue to get healthy, finish the season playing in the Red Box Bowl with my teammates, and then pursue my dream of playing in the NFL. Then in the next graph, he goes on to thank Mark D'Antonio. He goes on to thank the other members of the coaching staff. He thanks his family. He thanks Spartan Nation. He thanks his teammates. And then he closes out with speaking to Spartan Nation, quote, and lastly, to the best fans in the country, the love and support you all have shown me and my family through the past 4 years here at MSU means more than you know. I will forever be a Spartan. Go green. So, simple question. Right move. I think so. LJ Scott, I don't know. You know, Justin, I feel like when discussing LJ Scott, 4 years here at Michigan State, now I know this was an injury-plagued season. But when watching LJ Scott, I just don't know how much better he will get here at Michigan State. I feel like he hit a ceiling, if you ask me.
It was pretty clear after his sophomore season that he was NFL ready. Even his freshman season, you could tell that this kid was going to be an NFL player. And mentioning that paragraph that you read when he mentions the position that he plays, is when you're a running back, hit after hit after hit, that takes a toll on your body, on your legs, on your knees. And I compare this to the Le'Veon Bell situation going on right now, where if you have a whole year off where you're not taking a hit every Sunday, 20 plays a game,
that extends your life cycle, right?
You come back the next year with a fresher body.
Yeah.
So giving him the time to reset with the injuries that he has now, speaking about LJ Scott now, and being able to prepare for the draft, who knows if his draft stock drop down that much because of what happened this year, but his body's going to be NFL ready. And looking at it from both sides now, from LJ Scott's perspective and Michigan State's perspective, is that it was probably the right decision on both sides, considering what's coming back from Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Michigan State's going to have 7 scholarship running backs on the roster next year with Connor Hayward. You got Weston Bridges, Ladarius Jefferson, and Elijah Collins all coming back. They all got carries this year.
I like all of those running backs.
And then you got 3 yeah. more running backs in the class coming in.
Yeah, exactly. So they're deep.
Yeah.
They're deep at that position.
And if LJ Scott would have stayed, likely one of the commits probably would have decommitted or someone would be transferring out because the running back room was just too crowded at that point.
When it comes to the running back position and the NFL, it's all about, you know, one, how much tread do you have on the tires right now? I mean, because looking at LJ Scott, he carried the ball just 55 times this year for 180 yards, no touchdowns this year. He will now enter the ball game with 2,771 career rushing yards. That's good for 10th all time here at Michigan State when it comes to career rushing yards. And he has 25 touchdowns. So when it comes to the running back position, we all know the shelf life of a running back in the NFL is 2.5 to 3 years. That's it. That's the average life cycle of a running back in the pros right now. It's because it's you know, as Justin just noted, it's a position that demands a lot on your body. You know, you take a lot of hits. You know, when you're a running back, you take a lot of hits, and it really takes someone who just has a body that's supremely in shape if you want to extend that life cycle, and someone who is used in variations. I think with Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers, what also extends the lifespan of a guy like Le'Veon Bell is the fact that they use him a lot as a receiver as well. You know, they'll put him in the flat and throw it out to him and let things happen that way as well. He isn't just a running back who is just being handed the football and just getting knocked around. And I, you know, from the perspective of Le'Veon Bell, I mean, him sitting out this year, I agree as well. I mean, that just extends his life cycle. So for LJ, another year, I don't think would have improved his NFL chances that much more. It wasn't much left to gain, man. So in 5 years as a running back in college, go right now. You have nothing else to gain, LJ Scott. I think that, you know, when it comes to how LJ will be remembered, I think that everybody will be remembering him from the play. Yeah, I played in our introduction. I think that's probably his biggest play in a green and white jersey. I mean, that play against Iowa that really capped off one of the most improbable drives that we've seen in Michigan State football history, in Big Ten championship history as well. And, you know, LJ has handled this, I will say this as well, with tremendous class. I mean, every time you talk to him, you know, in the press conferences, he is always giving credit to the offensive line, always giving credit to the coaching staff, a really humble dude, and a really fun interview as well. I'm going to miss interviewing LJ Scott. So by all means, this is the right decision for him because of the position that he does play. All right? You don't want to put any more miles on those tires. Jack?
Oh, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I was a little confused initially why LJ even considered coming back for his fifth year. Just because, you know, at this point,
injuries. That's why.
Sure, but at this point in time, I'm not sure how much he could really improve his stock by coming back for his senior year, because I think he kind of is what he is. And that even might be why he decided to go pro. That might have factored into his decision. And I think you hit the nail on the head where, you know, he didn't really have a great career at MSU, in my opinion, but he'll always be remembered. That signature play his freshman year against Iowa. Mm-hmm. I think that was pretty much the best we saw of LJ. I wish LJ nothing but the best. I don't anticipate he'll be a tremendously highly picked guy. I feel like he'll fall to the fifth, sixth, seventh round, if that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to follow where he goes from there. But,
he'll fall that deep?
I do, just because I don't know if there's anything he does particularly well that the NFL's looking for. He's not a pass catcher, really.
I think he'll go anywhere between the second and third round. Call me crazy. I think he will.
I do think you're crazy.
I think that's a bit of a stretch as well.
I think he would go, it would be late second or somewhere in the third round. Mark.
You know who I
that.
Think will go in the late second or third round in my mind is like Mike Weber at Ohio State, who I think is way better than LJ Scott.
I hear you. But just because I think that LJ is going to have, I just got a feeling, I think he's going to have an amazing combine. And we all know, the combine is the combine, and they put so much stock in the combine. As we come, we only got 4 minutes left. I want to go to our phone lines right now. Mike from Saginaw wants to weigh in on MSU hoops. Mike, what's up, man?
Thank you. Just before I weigh in, thanks to the MSU soccer team for being in the college cup. I appreciate that. Seeing Michigan State getting to the finals, that is really awesome, man. Indeed. But here's what I want to talk to you about. Michigan State and Iowa, I'm just amazed at how well Goins and Ward is really coming out, man. It's just something to see, man. You know, Nick Ward, I thought he was a candidate to transfer out of Michigan State, man, but he hung with it, man. So I give him all the credit in the world, man. And Goins, he might not be an NBA player, but he really took advantage of his years in the school, man. So that's what I want to kick it with you. And thanks. Keep on doing your show. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, you know, we mentioned briefly yesterday the MSU men's basketball win over Iowa. And Kenny Goins, you know, I stated how he is one of those glue and guts kind of guys right now on the MSU hoop team. I mean, what we saw from him was amazing. I mean, you know, he's one of those guys who's going to play hard defense. He's going to give you everything that he has every single game. It's a joy to watch him play. He is full all-out effort, and that's kind of surprising, you know, Mike, that you thought Nick Ward was maybe going to transfer out. I think we all have flashbacks. I know I certainly had a flashback when watching the Michigan State and Iowa game on Monday night, and when I saw Nick Ward go over to Tom Izzo and kind of put his arm around Izzo, and they're both smiling and just, you know, just yucking it up on the bench. You know, Izzo's joking with Nick, and Nick is joking back, and, like, just this happy couple. I said, wow, look how far these two have come. Because last year, Justin, that Rutgers game, we all had flashbacks of that Rutgers game where he wanted no part of Izzo. He's sitting on the bench anytime, you know, even if Michigan State scored. He wasn't up and cheering for his teammates. They've come a long way, haven't they?
His attitude adjustment has been night and day, and I'm sure that stems from what he heard from NBA scouts going through the draft process. Is that's probably part of it. And I just, like you said, watching him play in some of these games, almost every time he scores, anytime anyone else has a big play, running back down the court, he's got a smile on his face. In post-game interviews, he's got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
No,
he's enjoying the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
He really is. And, you know, I always go back to, if you compare a Nick Ward interview, his freshman campaign, to now, it's night and day. I mean, you're talking to two different people. And we're seeing the maturity of Nick Ward. It's really a joy to see where he is right now. And I did criticize him, though. I got to back up what I said, right? When I called him out after that, what, the Louisville loss, I said, where in the world was Nick Ward? Well, he really showed up on Monday, 10 for 10 from the floor. All right, that does it for this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We will put a lid on the week tomorrow. Stay warm, ladies and gents. We'll be back at it same time, same place. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I'm Al Martin, reminding you all to always be easy, people.